We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama, y'all. This show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I got to tell you who else covers a lot of ground. Our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across North Alabama, in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations in and around the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that is there for you 7 days a week. 7 days a week, y'all. Get sick on a Saturday? Do you wait till Monday? No, Southern Immediate Care. And oh, by the way, they will see all ages. So don't worry about, you know, the age of the patient. Just take them on down there. I'm talking pediatric to geriatric. They will see them all. And this is who I use personally. No kidding. This is who I use personally. And I don't use them because they advertise. I was already using them, was so impressed with how clean and friendly and professional they were. I thought, okay, I can easily brag on this. So I did. I asked them and they said, man, yeah. Turns out they're owned by a Right Side ruffian. How's that? So yeah, Southern Immediate Care. You need some medical attention any day of the week. Look them up, find the location nearest to you, head on down, and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. Real quickly, before I change topics, Chris from Gadsden just texted in. Says the United Methodist Church has been dealing with a good number of their congregations which have left to form the Global Methodist Church. Yes, I'm aware of that. I'm asking, though, why is the UMC not helping out its college? I'm aware of the split going on. It's pretty epic. All right, so next topic. Third Dipper, a three-dipper day. We've had call-in guests. We've had the Grand Council. And we're still going to have a three-dipper day. Building the force.
It's rare.
Are you punking me right now on the air?
No.
It is rare. That's because we have so much content.
It's good when we can get to three.
I like it. All right, building the force. So in case you didn't see this, by the way, let me back up and say this. I love the U.S. Army. So when I have to critique, it is not critiquing out of like disdain. It is critiquing out of my concern because something I love is not doing as well as it should. The organization that I love, that my grandfather, my father, myself, and now other members of my family currently serve, is ailing right now. Ailing. Now, do I still think we can win wars? Yeah. Do I still think we have the best troops in the world with the best equipment in the world? Yes, I absolutely do. Do I still think that we can take on anybody and if we had to, we could pound them into submission? Yes, but I believe it would take longer. Unnecessarily so. Why? Because of the ridiculous levels of bureaucratic wokeness that we see being foisted upon our U.S. Army. Right now, by the way, I am not talking about Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, Marine Corps. All of them aside, I'm just talking about the Army. Here's a story from Fox News. Came out right at 30 days ago. The U.S. Army is cutting its force structure by 24,000. So here's the thing. When you're way short on your recruiting goals, it's easier to get to your goals if you just lower your goals. Let that sink in. So they're way off the mark. Like they're cutting 5% across the board now. Now, I will say this. They're not asking people to leave. This is not a reduction in force. This is not a riff, all right? This is through natural attrition, they are not going to be replacing or recruiting at the levels they should. We have the smallest military right now since pre-World War II. Wow. That is unbelievable. Look at the world around us. The invasion from the southern border. We've got the the whole idea about China and Taiwan. We got what's happening in the Middle East right now. We got Hamas. We got threats of, you know, terrorism that could potentially come to our own soil. We got what's happening in Ukraine and whether that has broader implications for Europe as a whole. All this, the world is not a stable place. Meanwhile, there's still North Korea, you know, sandbagging its nukes and probably selling them to people we don't know about. And then Iran, my gosh. Iran and its proxies, the Houthis, Hezbollah, Hamas. This is not a stable world, and we have the lowest, we have the smallest military that we have had since pre-World War II. And the U.S. Army just cut 24,000 in its force structure.
That's a significant piece. A lot of those cuts are coming because they say they're moving away from counterinsurgency ops, moving into more conventional posts, but yet they're still doing away with, you know, 10,000 in the CAV squadrons, Striker Brigade Combat Teams, Infantry Brigade Combat Teams, Security Forces Assistance Brigades. Those are going to be seeing the biggest cuts. And then they're going to try and restructure and send people to other, you know, MOSs. Where's that piece I've got? Hang on a second. Look at this. Army unveils occupational fields that it needs to fill and will give big bonuses to get them filled. Okay, I get it. Big bonuses. I see that. I mean, this is how you lure people in, right? Well, the job market's tough out there. A lot of folks see other opportunities. Most of these places they're going to go to are not going to have a GI Bill. They're not going to have full medical. They're not going to have the opportunity to learn a skill and be paid to learn it while you learn it. The military is still a great option. But the reason they're having to cut right now is because they can't get people in. So they have to increase the ask. The carrot has to get a little bigger, if you will. And so one of the things they're doing right now is offering huge bonuses for people to either cross-level within the military. I mean, they're doing away. They're cutting 3,000 special operations. 3,000. 10,000 out of the warfighters, the CAV squadrons, the infantry brigade combat teams, all of them. They're cutting a host of folks out of airborne infantry and reclassifying them as straight leg or doing away with them altogether. By the way, straight, I'm sorry, I just went into vernacular. Straight leg means not airborne. If you're a 19 Delta cavalry scout and you want to reclassify to straight leg infantry, you could do that. You can go straight on over, but other people may have to go, you know, reclassify. If you're an E4 CAV scout and you want to become a Patriot fire control operator, Patriot batteries, you might get, you know, anywhere from $6,000 to $70,000 in bonuses. That's huge. But it's also clear indication that we are redesigning our force structure in a big way, but they're not redesigning it for capabilities per se. They're redesigning it for manning. They're not creating new elements. They're doing away with some and strengthening others, but they're realigning the force structure. And in the process of doing it, y'all, the U.S. Army is cutting 24,000 because it can't make its recruiting goals. And don't tell me they would have cut this anyway. The Biden administration is cutting the U.S. Army by 24,000 man slots. Not because they just don't need them anymore. They're doing it because they can't get them in. And then you look at, I've got a piece, where that one? I put it over here behind me. I'm sorry, let me reach right here and grab it. Desperate U.S. Army tries to lure retirees back into uniform. I've never seen this before. Now, there have been, I've seen retirement freezes. You know, post 9/11, there was a freeze on all retirements. I have seen people, you know, given the opportunity to re-enlist for big bonuses. I've never seen this before, and some of y'all may be able to correct me if you know about it. But right now, story here on hotair.com, Dateline yesterday, the Army is seeking to bring back retired soldiers to fill critical manpower shortages. The All-Army Activities document describes how Army retirees can find and apply for open positions and aims to maintain a sufficient number of personnel to fill all the Army's... I may have to talk to Charlene tonight. You think she'll let me? I don't know. Big Rigs is laughing at. What are you laughing at? I can still do push-ups. I can.
You gotta ask her?
I can still tote a ruck.
Okay.
I just crossed my mind. Anyway, a review of command's request for the fills of authorized personnel vacancies in conjunction with the Army recruiting manning guidance indicates that the retiree recall program could be an effective tool, says the Army document. Unclear whether the Army already identified the manning shortages to be filled, but it says any Army, Reserve, or National Guard soldier who qualifies as retired or soon to be retired can receive retired pay, have the option, if they are under the age of 70, to possibly get back in. I'm curious. I'm very curious now. Pray tell, what roles could there be? The Army's current force structure assumes an active duty in strength of 494,000, but the 24,000 cut to include a capped in strength of 445 means we're reaching historically low numbers, and the Army is struggling to recruit enough soldiers to meet its in strength goals. That being said, there's one other piece. There's the wokeness aspect. There's the abusive treatment we saw of soldiers who were questioning the religious accommodation they should be allowed on the vaccinations. There's the transgenders in the military piece. There's the absolute mandate that there be an extremist, you know, witch hunt, because surely, to goodness, everybody understands that we are a systemically racist army. And that's not just me saying I heard they. That's the Secretary of Defense shutting down the U.S. military for a period of time to do an extremist check and to begin rooting people out of the ranks. Story here on military.com, which, by the way, is not known for being a bastion of conservative reporting. Military.com, Dateline January 10th of this year. Army sees a sharp decline in white recruits. I wonder why. Because you've told them they're all bad guys. You've told them that the organization that they may love because they were always raised to understand it, and they've watched the movies, and they've seen the posters, and they do the things, and they've got family members who served, and they grew up during the time of post 9/11 when people did their duty, and they watched, you know, things like Pat Tillman quit his NFL career and go be an Army Ranger, and they see all the stuff, and now you're being told, wait. It's systemically racist. And we're rooting out all you extremists, and don't come to us with your white privilege, because we're doing what we can. The Air Force literally said, it was the Navy. It literally said, we have too many white pilots. What? Transgenders can serve in the barracks and sleep in the same, you know, accommodations that people of the opposite sex shouldn't appreciate. Meanwhile, story on military.com, the Army's recruiting of white soldiers has dropped significantly in the last half decade. Let's be honest, it's the last 3 to 4 years. A decline that accounts for much of the service's historic recruitment slump. The shift in demographics for incoming recruits would be irrelevant to a war planner, except that it coincides with an overall shortfall of... What kind of a thing was that to say? It's irrelevant to a war planner. Well, only because the only color we're supposed to be seeing is green. But it definitely means something to the war planners when they're 10,000 short on recruits and you cut the force by another 24,000. They're going to miss the recruit number. They are. They're not going to make mission. And the deficit strain in the force right now has ramped up its presence in the Pacific and Europe. A smaller army is taking on a larger mission. Looking at it, though, we suddenly see that we have a drastic drop in white recruits. Why would that be? In 2018, 56% of new recruits were categorized as white. In 2023, that number fell to 44%. A 12% drop, y'all, in what, 5 years? 12% drop. During that same five-year period, black recruits have gone from 20 to 24%. Hispanic recruits have risen from 17 to 24%. That's great. I'm glad. But tell me why you're seeing a sudden 12% drop in white recruits. Are you focusing on not recruiting them? Are you focusing on, you know, just like telling them they're all racist and they don't want to be there anymore? Listen, the bottom line is this. The Army is struggling. When we get back, though, I'm going to give you something to think about that I think ends on a higher note than that. Because there are still folks that know and believe and love what the U.S. military stands for, to include the Army. Me being one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. I got a feel-good story about the U.S. Army that I thought I'd throw out there. Before I do that, I want to go to the phone. Allie from Athens is on the phone. My friend Allie, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I have something you've just about inspired me to pull my ping pong paddle, my purchase for MWR ping pong paddle, out of my trunk and go, the Joes need somebody to talk to and play ping pong.
I'm saying, they do. They need some of us gray hairs to tell them. Not that you're a gray hair. I'm sorry that I said
I am shamelessly a gray hair. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I've earned every single one of these gray hairs, sir. But yeah, I'm thinking that the youngsters maybe need some of us old geezers to go set them straight and do it over ping pong.
Well, I'm thinking, since they're calling for retirees to re-up, I'm thinking maybe you and I find a reason to get on board and do something.
That's it. We'll do something.
We'll do something. Something. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. And by the way, thank you for your service. Thank you very much.
It was my pleasure forever, and it's hard to believe that I was getting ready to leave for the sandbox 20 years ago.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yep. Time flies when you're having fun.
It does. Yep. Thank you, my friend. See ya.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Yeah, by the way, if y'all don't know Allie's story, Allie from Athens is an amazing story. She's got a book out called Ballad for Baghdad. I've got it up on the recommended reading list at rightsideradio.org. Rightsideradio.org. Recommended reading list. Allie from Athens. She wrote Ballad for Baghdad. It's her story about, in her own words, how a hippie war protester spent 3 years in Baghdad serving the troops. She literally went over. She literally had a burr under her saddle and maybe a hitch in her spirit. And she went over and spent 3 years serving the troops, like serving them. And I just can't get over her story. Anyway, it's worth telling. Hey, one more thing. I'm gonna tell you right now, the U.S. Army's got to get fixed. We got issues. We need meaningful leadership. We need a sense of mission. We need people who are inspired to be a part of it. We need folks who recognize the value of the legacy that it brings. It's a legacy organization like none other. It is strength and honor. It is absolute patriotism. It is service above oneself. It is all the things that it should be. But too often today, it's getting lost in the middle of what I would call feckless leadership, woke policies, and, you know, poor emphasis on the majors as opposed to the minors. That being said, I saw a story that I thought I'd leave you with. A piece on the BBC, believe it or not. The actors from the HBO TV show The Band of Brothers, where they portrayed Easy Company from the first of the 506 that jumped into Normandy as part of the 101st Airborne Division. The actors from Band of Brothers are training right now to go do an 80th anniversary jump into Normandy. The actors themselves, they wanted to be a part of it. They were so inspired by their own roles in being a part of the representation of the Greatest Generation in the Band of Brothers miniseries. And here's the thing. What really got me was, we talk about the U.S. Army and the things we're concerned about. People are still inspired by the real Army, all right? People are still inspired by the idea that the Army is there to do the work that other people can't do, to go to hard places and do hard things in a hard way, and sometimes at great risk to themselves, to make sure that the freedoms we enjoy are still there. So much so that there are people right now who are willing to be trained to go and parachute in as a part of a memorial to something that even happened 80 years ago. Call me sentimental, but I saw that as being significant. And I thought, you know what? Yeah, I'm frustrated with where the Army is today. Yeah, I'm frustrated with, you know, what I see as being policies that need to be addressed and corrected. And I'm hoping that we're going to see recruiting come back up. But believe me when I say, I believe that there is still a level of inspiration that can be quickly rekindled if the right leadership is put in place. All right, folks, amazing day. You guys stay tuned for tomorrow. We'll have more fun. Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, Big Rig, and I back tomorrow, too. We'll see you then.